beautiful song. Our scripture is from Luke's Gospel. It's the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 21. Listen for the word of God as it comes to us now from Luke's Gospel. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, Jesus went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, he went and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant. And then he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have a vision statement of our church. Many of you know it. Sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie. Say it with me. Sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie. I like that. Sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie. I'm wondering right now, is there anyone who'd just like to give a simple witness of, I've seen persons sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie recently? I think we could honestly say that we heard a witness from Lyndon. How about some of the rest of you? What does that look like? Sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie. Who's seen that? Yes, Polly.
I saw it when we did Youth Mission Week. All that whole week when we did the SOS Water Day, when we took Have a Nice Day bouquets to assisted living facilities and insiders. I saw that as Christ's heart, sharing it from in Carrie.
That's a picture. That's a picture of what our vision statement looks like. Anybody else? You could just stand where you are. Anybody else? Yes, right over here, Kellen. She might appreciate the microphone if you can get it to her.
They did an amazing job sharing their faith, sharing their hearts, and their friendship with the children in Southeast Raleigh.
Thank you very much. Well, we're beginning a new series today, and the title of it is Sharing the Heart of Christ from the Heart of Carrie. More importantly, that's what we're all about here as a church. And in the coming days ahead, I hope that you'll pay special attention of where you see that happening, and that you might join all of us together in fulfilling that vision of sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie. You know, I was thinking about what does it mean to do that? Well, if we're going to share the heart of Christ, we need to know the heart of Christ. Today, we're getting to know something of the heart of Christ through the Scripture. The heart of Christ was first and foremost to worship, to give praise and adoration to God. And so if worship is so much a part of the heart of Christ, it should be a part of our heart as well. The heart of Christ to worship. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. The scripture says, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, it talks about how on the Sabbath, there's to be a holy convocation. The Holy Convocation is basically what happens in the synagogue where people gather. Synagogues were prevalent during Jesus' day. Now, there was worship in the temple in Jerusalem. That's where the sacrifices took place. But synagogues could be in almost any town. And it was a place for persons to assemble on the Sabbath to worship, much like we do. Matter of fact, our pattern of worship is based a lot on the pattern of worship from the synagogue, in which there are prayers, there is music and songs and hymns. There's a reading of the scripture. The law and the prophets, of course, was very prevalent during that time. There was teaching and sharing, and there was the benediction. So we need to know what's the heart of Christ. And the heart of Christ was on the Sabbath. That was his habit. He gathered with the people of God. Worship. Gathering with the people of God to hear the word of God. Experiencing the presence of God to ultimately do the work of God. That was his habit. And so here on this particular day, he goes to the synagogue, and of course he's the one who reads the scripture, and he sits down, and then he teaches from it. Worship is primary in our life. What is worship? There are two groups of words in both the Hebrew and the Greek. And the first group really has to do with service. You think of the priest in the temple when they had things to do. The sacrifices and using the utensils of worship. Worship, first and foremost, is service. It is something that we do. And it's good to think about worship in terms like that, because we're not called to be spectators, or we're called to be participants. Worship is something that we do. It is a service rendered unto God. The second group of words has to do with bestowing honor. It is the bowing of the heart. It is the showing of adoration and praise. And so worship, very simply, is a service of adoration for God. A service of praise to God. In other words, worship is all about God. It's God-centered. It's not really about us. And so often we talk about, what is a good worship service? Well, a good worship service is one in which God is pleased. And we ought always to ask the question, is our worship pleasing unto God? Because it's not just about us. It is service rendered to God. It is adoration given to God. As I said earlier, there's nothing better to know in life than that God loves us. And there's nothing better to do in life than to love God back. And it is the loving God back that is the worship. That's a general understanding of what worship is about. So, we are to make it our habit on the first day of the week to gather and to worship. But worship is more than just what we do here on Sunday morning. You see, worship is not a preliminary to something else. It is what the whole Christian life is about. It is the point of our whole Christian life. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, there's a conclusion. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's this talk about God chose us before the foundations of the world. He redeemed us in Christ by his blood. God did all these things through Jesus in claiming us as his people. And then you come down to verse 14 and you see the reason why. So that we might live for his glory. You know, the shorter catechism of Westminster Confession is simply answering a question. The first question, well, what is the purpose of mankind? Purpose of mankind primarily is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So worship is about our entire life. Anything and everything that we do that brings pleasure to God is worship. Now, what's important is that we make it a habit to gather with the people of God to worship, because we need to learn how to worship. But it doesn't stop when we leave, because our whole life is to be a service unto God, to be an adoration unto God. The whole point of our life is to glorify God. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, Paul writes, you know, whatever you do, and in this particular context, he's talking about whatever you do, eating or drinking, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when you're working, whatever your task is, you can do it unto God. You can do it for His glory. It can be your act of worship. Brother Lawrence was a monk in a monastery. He was greatly disappointed because he wanted to be in the chapel where all the important stuff took place, much like Lyndon. He really wanted to be up and up and up and up and up and up. He wanted to be up there. He wanted to be in the chapel. That's where it took place. But he was put in the kitchen with the dishes, and he didn't like it. And so he did what a lot of us do when we have to do the dishes. We grumble, and, well, you know, that's the way it is. And but then one day, Brother Lawrence, it kind of hit him. God is just as much present here in this kitchen with these dishes as He is there in that chapel. And He and I can experience His presence here. And so it is from Brother Lawrence that we get the idea of practicing the presence of God, who is always with us. Each and every moment, God is available to us, His peace, presence, and healing power. So that means that each and every moment can be a time of worship as we do whatever we do unto God. You know, I really marvel at what St. Augustine said. St. Augustine was a brilliant scholar. I don't have this exactly right, but I have the gist of it. He said, it's a mystery. You think about it. The whole thing is a mystery about how this bit of clay, because that's what we are. We're a bit of earth. We're a bit of the sod, but with the breath of God, and that's why we're alive. And so this bit of sod, this bit of earth that has come alive through the breath of God, with the same breath that was given to me, I can worship the God who created everything there is, and God is pleased, and God accepts and watches over me and you. Yes. You know, the scripture says God seeks for worshipers. And each of us can become a worshiper. And it's about our whole life and whatever we do, doing it unto God. Now, I said about making it a habit to worship. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, the scripture says, you know, let us stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. You see, when we fall away from meeting together, the Christian life becomes sort of haphazard. Sometimes we're cognizant of Christ's presence and we live for Him and we serve Him, and other times we don't. But we need the coming together. We need that so much. Last week, Polly and I went to church at Suncrest United Methodist Church in Morgantown, West Virginia. It was really neat for us to get up and go to the, I think it was the 9 o'clock service. We went to the 9 o'clock service. No one really knew us. We came in and we went to a worship service. And there we were to worship. And we had a wonderful experience worshiping with the people of God and being reminded of who we are and why we're here and what we're all about. And as we sat there, you know, the preacher had a wonderful message. And he was preaching about getting back on track. And that's really what it's all about when we start the new week off with worship. We get back on track. We need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are, what we believe and what we value and what we're called to do. And it's so much like Lyndon, you know, to be reminded that what you do matters. No labor of love is ever in vain when it's done in Jesus' name. You are important. And so I love that message. And the pastor even made a confession that he had gotten off track. But during this series that he was preaching on, one of the things he was going to do is he was going to get back on track with keeping the Sabbath. He was going to get back on track with keeping the Sabbath. And so today I'm wondering, maybe this is a good idea for all of us. Conley said fall officially begins on Tuesday, September 1st. I kind of like that. Of course, in our household, it's the beginning of football season, okay? But it's even much larger than that. It really is a time for us to say, you know what? Why don't we get back on track? So, how have we gotten off track? I'll leave that for you to decide. But the good news is this. It's never too late to get back on track. Here's what I'd like for us to do. Polly, if I can have that hymnal there. First thing that I think we really need to do is not to try harder. We've done that. It's not a matter of gritting our teeth and trying to live this Christian life. Rather, it's a matter of realizing that we live out of God's grace in all that we do. And so the first thing that we really need to do is pray that God will give us a heart of worship, that we'll have the desire to worship, that we'll have the desire to be with the people of God in worship, that we'll have the desire to serve God wherever we are and whatever we do during the week. We pray that we might have our hearts shaped like the heart of Christ, whose heart was to love God and to worship God. And so hymn number 417 in the hymnal is the prayer that I'm going to be praying. And I want you to think about a prayer that you could have, and perhaps you can get a hymnal and you can let this be your prayer. But listen to these words. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean, which neither life nor death can part from Christ who dwells within. A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love. So as we conclude, I'd like for you to begin thinking about praying for that kind of heart, the heart of Christ. Our church is all about sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie. It's a good time to begin with worship. Second thing that I'd like for you to do is think about this. I think we're living in days and times where we need to think about not just us going to worship. We need to think about who we can bring with us. And the neat thing about worship is it doesn't necessarily have to be here. It can be anywhere. I want you to think about who can you invite to worship with you. You can think about bringing them here to one of the five services we have, or there are other places to worship during the week as well. But I want you to pray for a heart to worship. And I want you to think about inviting others to do the same. When that happens, we'll have even more stories like the one Lyndon shared with us, like the one Kelly shared with us, and like the one Polly shared with us. The love of God and the love of neighbor will increase in our world. You're invited for prayer. Let us stand.